Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm Shay Northrup.
I'm Jonathan Charney.
And today we're going to be talking about Apple Music no longer adding DRM to songs that you upload, Verizon to buy Yahoo, and Japan makes the last ever VCR. So the first thing I wanted to talk about a little bit was that Apple Music is no longer adding DRM to songs that you upload on the cloud.
Wait, hold on. I want a room for a round of applause.
So why don't you explain to the audience what DRM is, John?
DRM stands for Digital Rights Management. Basically, it's a way for the copyright holder to control what you do with the stuff you bought. Say for iTunes, for example, they could stop the music you purchased through iTunes to play on anything else but the Apple iPod, your one computer, stuff like that.
And they actually have done that in the past. They don't want you to bring your stuff over to Windows Media Player. They don't want you to bring your stuff over to video editing software. For a really long time, they didn't want you to really do anything but listen to it.
And unfortunately, there are always ways around everything. Now, in at least the United States, by circumventing DRM, you're actually violating the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So just for everybody out there to know. Oh, the other thing, and this is a little bit of a sidebar, when you buy a CD, you're not actually owning the content. You're buying a license. And this is one of the reasons they can get away with doing DRM.
It's not like they can really, like, I mean, it's not like they can really enforce on that kind of thing. But, I mean, be careful. So another thing that they're also doing is Apple Music is also getting lyrics to the download section in iOS 10, which is interesting so that they're adding that as well. So I guess you can look at the lyrics as well, like you could when you opened up a CD case and they were right there.
Now, is this for the songs you buy off of iTunes or, say, anything you rip on off of it?
I think it's just for the stuff that you buy on Apple Music.
Okay, I was going to say, because I want to try – I got some pretty obscure CDs. I'd love them to find the lyrics for those.
Yeah, I doubt that they'd be able to do that for you.
Darn.
Honestly, this is something that's kind of surprising for me because Apple is not really nice about licenses and that sort of thing. But I think it's kind of nice that they're finally getting rid of the DRM.
No, I think it's about time too. I think this with Apple particularly is going to help them because I think Apple has a little bit of an image issue. So I think this is definitely going to help pump up their image a little bit with the geek crowd. I wonder why they're doing it though. I'm really shocked.
You know, I honestly think it's one of those things where they finally realize that the music industry isn't going to die if you take off DRM.
But I don't see that DRM really being something Apple wanted. I can totally see them. This is something that was enforced by the record companies.
Well, I mean, a lot of other software doesn't really have this. I believe, Amazon doesn't have it. Windows Media Player doesn't have it.
Don't get me wrong, though. With Amazon, they do some weird practices. Like, for example, when you buy Amazon, like, videos from Amazon, right, they don't let you actually download it.
And I'm pretty sure that even, like, YouTube Music doesn't have DRM.
YouTube is a complete and different kettle of fish. They have a huge problem with copyright violations. And that's one of the reasons their DRM system constantly flags everything that's even remotely close to, a song. Now, we're going to switch stories here. And this is something that is very important, believe it or not. Japan's Honda Motor Company has developed the world's first hybrid car without using heavy rare earth metals. And one of the reasons this is important, because as far as I know it, most rare earth metals actually comes from China. Hybrid vehicles combining a gasoline engine and electric motor, hybrid, have become increasingly popular in many developed countries, but source of a steady supply of rare earth metals such as dysprosium, how do you say that? Do you have any idea?
Let me see. Give me one second.
Now this is going to be very interesting, dead air. Now, pretty much what they're doing is they found a way to get the engines working without rare earth metals. Now, one of the reasons they use rare earth metals is because the engines actually get hot, the electric motors, and this is supposed to be a way that the magnets won't actually melt. This is extremely important in hybrid engines because just like gasoline engines producing heat, heat is actually a byproduct of using electric engines.
I think the metal is pronounced dysprosium.
Yeah, that sounds close enough to me.
Well, it's cool that they're going to do it without such rare metals, because I remember one of the things that those rare metals do, of course, is bump up the cost of the car. So, you know, like one of the big advertising things for the Prius was like, oh, it's going to save you so much money in gas. But are you really saving that much money? Because it's going to take like 25, 30 years before you're able to actually save enough money to make the car pay for itself.
Right. I mean, and one of the ways this actually says it's actually reducing the cost is says the reduction in cost of producing the magnets, a key component of the motors, by 10% while making them nearly 8% lighter. So you're reducing costs of the engine 10% while reducing weight, which...
That'll help with the gas mileage even more.
Exactly. Now, we do have... This is kind of a byproduct, is oddly enough, like in California, gas taxes are actually becoming an issue because more cars are becoming more fuel efficient. I mean, it's not really germane to the story, but it is something that has become a byproduct of more fuel efficient cars.
Okay.
The whole thing is interesting. I love innovation, period, especially innovation that like this is going to save money for people. And that's one of the sole reasons the green movement to me is important, is it saves the environment, it saves gas.
Saves money.
Exactly. The one negative side to me of the green movement is a lot of people just want to jump into innovation. I, like right. most people, will only use green technology once it's a proven factor and I don't have to go out of my way.
I think most people are like that.
I hope so. And I know it sounds really lazy, but most people can't afford to go out of their way for, say, alternative fuels. One of the reasons people like the E86 flex fuel vehicles is because you can get it at the pump.
Right.
They don't want to go to somebody's backyard and fill up with some fuel they made, and you have to trust that it's actually okay.
Right.
So I think this is amazing. They didn't actually say when they're going to start using this. Let's see. Honda is aiming for new energy vehicles, including gasoline electric hybrids, plug-in hybrids, battery electric, and fuel cell vehicles, and account for 2/3 of its lineup by 2030. So
I think this is exciting.
I am wondering when they're going to do hydrogen, though. Because in theory, all you'd have to do is, like, dump in a bunch of water. I'm assuming it would be, say, like, not heavy water, but water that's been processed.
Right. Well, I think the biggest fear about hydrogen cars is just exploding. They've been able to like, become really close with prototypes and stuff. It's just the big fear about them blowing up.
I don't see them Hindenburging. I've seen the technology and I've read a bunch about it. The fuel cells by themselves are pretty safe. Now, what I haven't heard is I don't think there's been any major accidents. See, that's the question, I guess. You know, say because by itself it's fine, but if you get an accident, will the fuel cell, for example, save itself?
Right.
This is a little bit of a roundabout story to talk about this, but in World War II, one of the reasons the American planes were better than say the Japanese Zeros. The Americans had a rubber liner in the fuel cell, so when they were hit, it actually sealed itself back up.
Oh, that's cool.
The Zeros didn't. They just exploded like Roman candles.
Well, and they also the Japanese also just kind of stripped down their planes.
Yeah.
And they were very rinky-dink.
The reason I bring that up is, does the fuel cell and the hydrogen have the ability to self-heal? Now, if it does... Then I think the technology should be given another chance, because I think hydrogen is better personally than battery powered vehicles, because the problem with battery powered vehicles is once, say, I don't know, after 50,000 miles and you got to replace the batteries, what do you do with the batteries? How do you just have toxic waste? Can you clean the...
Probably the same thing you do with the car batteries.
So basically they get processed and you just have pollutants that you can't do anything with?
Probably.
See, this is the one issue I have. One of the reasons I think hydrogen is a good thing. Now, on the other hand, you are wasting a resource. One of the reasons why I always thought corn-based fuels were bad is because instead of raising food, you're raising fuel.
Now, right.
What are the side effects of this? Are you going to have a water shortage? It sounds ridiculous, but it's a conversation I've never heard anybody have.
Right. No, that's a really good point. Although I know corn is one of those like cash crops that's really easy to grow. So I really don't have a problem with fuel being made out of that, especially since there's so many places in the United States that is just corn.
Well, I'd say United States, I think, is fine. The only question I'm really curious about is, say, third world countries. You know, say if they have a food shortage and most of their food production is made in fuel. I don't know. I think you have some issues, but granted, I do think you have to actually find a problem on that.
Right. Well, and, you know, it would work better if we were in a more global state of being.
The other thing is you don't really hear about solar vehicles. Now, is that something that's going to be happening more? Granted, solar, you're going to need batteries, but if you have, say, I don't know, say solar spray paint, would that work better? Would during the day you run on the sunlight, at night in tunnels and stuff like that, you run off the batteries?
That might be an interesting like method to charge electric cars.
See, this is one thing like living in the 21st century is quite amazing, is the changes.
Well, and with the batteries at the end, maybe they could find a way to recycle them and use the parts.
I hope so. That's the one issue I've always had with hybrids is the battery issue is what do you do with it. Now, we're coming up to a break, and we come back, we're going to talk about what Verizon just purchased.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Now, Verizon just bought Yahoo with a $4.8 million deal. Now, I didn't research this a whole lot, but I found some stories. The most interesting thing about this is Microsoft 5, 10, 15 years ago was actually going to buy Yahoo for like a stock deal, and they were going to get roughly $44.6 billion. Now, that dropped from $44.6 billion to $4.8 billion. So I bet particularly the shareholders are getting quite upset that they lost a hell of a lot of money in that deal. Now, this also comes on top of Verizon buying AOL, the owned companies like Engadget, one of everybody's favorite tech blogs. They also own GDGT and a bunch of other tech companies and blogs and stuff like this. Now, this is interesting. I mean, so a transaction stands to finally seal the fate of the web pioneer Yahoo after months of speculation and pressure from investors, including Starboard Value LP. The deal will add the company and its millions of daily users Verizon's growing stable of media properties. Now, in this, Verizon gets Flickr, which is pretty much what every photographer I've ever met uses for some reason.
Right.
They get they own Tumblr now.
Oh, really? That's right. Yahoo owns Tumblr.
So this is interesting. So I think this basically is Verizon trying to turn into a Comcast.
Well, I think this is actually a good thing because Yahoo has been kind of iffy lately. Well, it's been iffy for like the last decade. It's been very insecure. People have been able to hack into it, and it's been getting a little bit better, but Yahoo hasn't really been a great...
I think, totally. I think the biggest problem is they don't have a visionary. They don't have somebody like an Elon Musk who's pointing the way. They've been kind of, excuse the metaphor, kind of finding their way in the darkness, as it were, because they didn't know what to do. So they did the spaghetti approach of tech firms, which is buy a bunch of stuff and see what hits, because I think it's the sole reason they bought Tumblr, which...
Yeah, well, they bought Tumblr because they knew that they would be able to make a big chunk of change.
Which is funny, because they had to write off a huge amount of money because of it.
Right.
So this is an awesome news. I mean, as a guy who was around when Yahoo first came out, I'll be honest, I'm a little sad that Yahoo kind of went this way, because back in the day, they were a big deal.
Well, I've been using Yahoo. Yahoo was my first email, and I still currently use my Yahoo account, but I'm glad to hear that they're getting new management, because it's gotten a little bit ridiculous with security lately.
The problem I always had with Yahoo Mail, unlike Gmail, is the amount of spam Yahoo Mail gets. It's yes. It's absurd, the level of caretaking you have to do for your Yahoo Mail.
Even with my ad blockers and stuff, I still get looking for singles in your area, and it's like, what eluded you to think that that's an advertisement I want to see?
Right? Now, the all the stories I do say this is for them to compete with Alphabet and Google and Facebook. See, I don't really see, because a lot of the stuff is content-based. Google isn't necessarily about content. They're about selling ads against the stuff you do.
Well, I'm really hoping that it makes Yahoo less content-based. Honestly, their news page and everything is just garbage.
Yeah, and they use Bing right now. So I'm actually kind of surprised Yahoo stayed around, because they don't really do much. They use everybody else's stuff pretty much. I mean, they had Flickr, which they didn't leverage. They had Tumblr, which, by the way, they didn't leverage. They got a bunch of other stuff, and the people who like it's totally it's a top-down problem. Everybody did everybody did things that caused issues with this company. From the purchase of Tumblr and Flickr they've had since Flickr came out.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what Verizon's going to do with this. Hopefully they'll be doing good things.
So do you think it's actually going to do anything, or do you think eventually they're just going to spin everything off and realize, okay, this was a bad deal? Because what are they really getting out of this?
That's a good question. Well, they're going to be getting a user base. That's definitely for sure, because there are a lot of people who still use Yahoo. Yahoo is still one of the top email providers.
Now, see, the article I found a while ago talks about how they're hoping to leverage Yahoo's content with AOL ad technology. So I'm almost thinking they basically want AOL. They want Engadget. They want all the Engadget blogs. They want all the tech stuff. They want all the content AOL has. And I think Yahoo is just along for the ride, because at this point, Yahoo's a damaged brand.
Right.
So well, I don't
hopefully,
know.
Hopefully they can clean up the brand.
I don't know. I'm almost thinking at this point it's time just to start over, because when you say Yahoo, what's the first thing that pops in your mind when you say Yahoo?
Oh, I think of just terrible news stories. Every time I'm on Yahoo, it's trying to tell me what celebrity or what dress, and it drives me nuts.
No, I'm with you. Their sports page is pretty good. Their financial page is pretty good.
Oh, well, you know what they are going to be getting then? Yahoo is actually one of the biggest fantasy football competitor sites. Like,
really?
Most people use Yahoo for their fantasy football stuff.
We're going to have to get the fantasy football people in here.
Maybe.
Just to see what they think. Do they think it's going to affect it at all?
I'm pretty sure because of how well their fantasy football stuff works, they're probably going to leave it alone. Like, I know one of my buddies is trying to start a league, and he wants me to join, and he uses Yahoo. And I know like a lot of professional leagues usually use Yahoo. So
this is going to be definitely going to be interesting. As a geek, I really am bummed to see Yahoo kind of go down the hill. But as a consumer, I'm excited. I'm excited to see new blood being brought in it, because obviously, what was it, Marissa Meyer didn't do a good job. But on the other hand, I don't think there was any steering this Titanic. I think this thing went off rails.
I think I like the company Verizon. I think that they're a good company. I love their internet. I love their phone service. I think that if anyone's going to be able to steer it around, I think Verizon would be able to. I'm really excited to see what Verizon's going to become now that it has Yahoo.
I really do think they're going to try to become a Comcast, because they already have Fios. I do think they need to expand Fios a little bit more than they have.
Definitely. Fios is fast.
Yeah, they have internet. They have cell phones. Now they have content. I do think they're competing with Comcast. All they have to do is make a studio or buy one, like NBC did with Universal. And because you're right, they've already buying a customer base.
Yeah, I think this is a good move for them. And I think that they might be able to take this damaged brand and turn it around.
I actually don't think they're going to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if they... I don't see them branding everything like Verizon Mail type of thing. I could see them... I can see them keeping it, or just seeing them rebranding everything somehow.
Well, either way, I would like to watch them succeed, and I also don't mind watching them fail. So
True. It, you know, it's kind of sometimes you just want to watch the world burn. And we're heading up to a break. And when we come back, we're going to be dipping our cap or tipping our cap a little bit and saying goodbye to an ancient way of watching movies.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. Now, I have a question for you, Jonathan. When was the last time you dusted off your old VCR?
Well, considering it's in my archive at my parents' house, it's been quite a while.
Yeah. Every once in a while, my dad and I will dust off some of the old, you know, some of our old Barbarian movies that we got from the 80s, and we'll watch those. But so officially, Japan is making its last ever VCR this month. So the VCR will no longer be in production. Now, it might be a surprise to some people that the VCR is still being made, but apparently to these, according to these figures, 7,500,000 sales worldwide were made last year on VCRs.
I'll be honest, I'm a little sad about this. One of the particular reason why is there's a lot of great movies, I bet not the best movies, that never made it over the transition.
Yes.
So we are going to lose, as a movie buff, we're going to be losing stuff. And that actually breaks my heart a little.
Well, and it's interesting to note, let's talk a little bit about VHS's history. So when VHS came out, it came out alongside of a different home video format called the Betamax. And the Betamax was arguably better than VHS, but VHS came around and beat that machine down and put it in the dust. It also got rid of Laserdiscs, which were also better than VHS.
So a little bit of trivia. A lot of the tech pundits I've listened to over the years contribute something to beating Betamax. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
Porn.
Interesting.
I've read and I've heard, I don't know how much is true, but I've read a lot about it, how they say because the people who did Betamax were very controlling about what content was on their tape.
Okay.
The people who did VHS, which if I remember correctly stands for the Video Home System, didn't care.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. A lot of things got, like, a ton of content was on the VHS. They moved a lot of old films over, straight to video stuff where it was coming out all the time.
And it was also, hold on, let me, a moment of silence. It was also what created the movie store.
Yes.
Which my childhood was filled with wandering the aisles of my local mom and pop shop.
So it's also important to note that VHS wasn't replaced by DVDs until officially 2008. People were still buying VHSs. People were still, you know, using their old machines, and videos were still coming out on VHS up until 2008. So it is a beast that refused to die, and people are still buying them because they still have their VHS tapes and they're still playing them, and you can get them at thrift stores. And
the hardest thing, though, is nobody releases anything anymore on VHS. That was the number one thing that was hard. You could go to thrift shops, your local record store that has tapes. But yeah, that was the number one thing that was hard to find. That's why a lot of people got those, like those combination DVD VHS tapes.
Yes. Yes, that was a really big thing for a really long time. It still is.
Which, by the way, uses the world's strangest cord, HDMI to composite a component.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, is really hard to find. If you want to find it, you're going to have to order that particular cable online only.
Or go to Fry's.
Oh, Fry's.
So one of the things that's really interesting to note, here is a quote from a specific video collector. It said, "These movies feel too good and cleaned up on DVD and Blu-ray, as if they were never meant to look that good. You can see the mistakes they are made, bad makeup and everything. Watching them on VHS is closer to the old drive-in or grindhouse theater, the way that the director intended it to look." So I agree and disagree with this guy's point in several ways. I do agree that if you try to watch Independence Day on DVD or Blu-ray, you'll definitely be able to tell that those little aliens are puppets. And if you watch a lot of older movies, you can definitely see that it's not. Like, it doesn't look that good. But
I'm curious, like specifically, like what movies, for example? Like, you're talking like 50s sci-fi, you're talking 70s movies,
well, I'm
like 80s
even movies from like the 90s with animatronics and stuff like that.
I'll give you that. A lot of those movies look really bad on DVD. Was this like 50s sci-fi, for example? Looks great.
Well, but then you also get stuff like, you know, like some of the green screen stuff like that they used to do. They used to just like literally set up a screen and like use a video projector behind people, and you wouldn't be able to tell on VHS, but you could tell on. But yeah. I do think that he is wrong in the fact that movies were never meant to look this good, because you could always play things back on film projectors, and film projectors show things even more clear than Blu-ray and DVD even can. Like, technically, DVD is standard definition. It really bothers me because, like, okay, so a lot of people bought DVD thinking, oh man, it's going to be so much better than VHS, but really what's important is the TV, not necessarily the player.
Oh,
so
no, totally.
If you're playing a DVD on a really bad tube TV, it's going to look like garbage. But if you play it on a HD TV, it's going to look good.
No, totally. It depends on the other things that on the DVD side. It really depends if it was cleaned up. If you get, like, say, a Criterion Collection, which each of those movies are painstakingly restored, they look amazing.
And so this collector also needs to realize that movies like VHSs are pan and scanned. Movies were shot professionally in the 16x9 format. Mm-hmm. They're shot professionally in the 16x9 format, and when you go to the theater, they were always played 16x9, and the projection qualities of film were actually pretty good. It's just once they brought it to VHS, it got really bad. And then they had to pan and scan.
The other thing is, a lot of these people they don't mention was the fact that the film they used was greater than standard definition.
Right.
So you've got movies that are, if I remember correctly, some of them are even in 4K, you know, when they were actually filmed. So if you scan them up and clean them.
Even more. Film is technically 16K.
Is it really?
We're not even at the level of film digitally yet.
Oh, wow. See, so, I mean, I do have to say, I do agree with him in one aspect of it's the nostalgia of it.
Yes.
If you're watching, I wish I could pick a particular movie. I'll say Goonies, for example, one of my favorite childhood classics. Is, you know, when you're watching that on VHS on a CRT monitor, for me, that brings me back to when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it has the crappy grainy quality. And if it's a little bit of an older tape, it's even better because it's been played a while and the tape's a little distressed.
And it's been loved.
And it's awesome. But on the other hand, sometimes when you're watching at a digitally restored version, you're watching what the filmmaker wanted. For the filmmaker, yes. It's not necessarily about the grain and quality. Because, by the way, if he wanted to look grainy, he would have made it grainy. Back then, it wasn't hard to do. Now it's not hard to do. So you're watching in like the mind's eye of what the director originally wanted.
Do me a favor, Jonathan. Do you like the Mad Max movies?
Yes.
So do me a favor and go back and rewatch The Road Warrior on Blu-ray. Now, I had always watched that film on tape, and there were some things that, like, I was just like, oh, man, this is a really low-budget movie, but I really appreciate the production design. I really appreciate, like, you know, the characters and everything, and I didn't really care so much about, like, the cinematography and editing and everything. Now, go back and watch it on Blu-ray, because that film is shot so beautifully. It's actually done really, really well. Like, it's shot almost even, like, the Spielberg standard of shooting. It's just because it got panned and scanned and slapped on a VHS tape, it looked like garbage. And if you go back and watch it now, like, it's beautiful. Or go back and watch, like,
Go
ahead.
I would say if you watch the new Mad Max movie that came out, it's shot exactly the same. And you want to know why? It's the same freaking director. It looks amazing.
Yeah, no, the Road Warrior looks so good. And it's a shame. It's almost a shame in my mind that it got degraded by VHS. As much as I love VHS and as much as I'm nostalgic about it, I'm like, I don't like to watch Star Wars on anything but VHS. And the one time I actually did watch it on Blu-ray, I realized how beautiful that was shot too.
I would say a couple of different things. One of the things especially about Star Wars is there's a couple of different things going against it. Star Wars has never fully been released in its original theatrical release. on Blu-ray. So the version like I watched as a kid, and yes, out of the two of us, I'm considerably older, is the fact that I cannot buy the version I watched as a kid on DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, that's why I have it on VHS and I watch it on VHS.
See, that's one of the reasons for me that I'd but love to find a VHS copy that was like never opened, for example, because then I would get it transcoded.
It still would be in 4:3, and it still wouldn't look good.
I would for me it. Since I'm a major film nut, part of it for me is preserving my childhood, yes. Preserving classics, and even though it's panned and scanned, and unfortunately, the when you transcode it to VHS, it looks awful. It's not as pretty, but you're preserving something to me that needs to be preserved. Now, this is a little bit of a rabbit hole. I hate it, hate it, hate it when filmmakers edit their own movies, like what Lucas did. I to me, that's a travesty.
No, I agree. I understand the thought process of, oh, you know, a movie is never done, it's just abandoned. I understand that, but we don't remember the special edition version. We don't like the special edition versions. We want what we were given originally. And the biggest thing about Star Wars is that it doesn't really, I hate to say this, and don't crucify me, audience, but it doesn't hold up as well to some of the other films. The biggest thing about Star Wars is nostalgia. If you were to, I know a few people that were not raised with Star Wars and didn't see Star Wars until their 20s. And when they saw Star Wars in their 20s, I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but this is a big thing. When they watch it in their 20s and they didn't grow up with it, they're not as in love with it. You know, they're like, oh yeah, that was good.
Oh yeah,
when you've grown up with it and you've been raised with it, if you've been born into it and bred into it, like the first time I saw Star Wars, I was like 5, so it's a part of my blood. Like I love Star Wars, but I completely understand other people who don't feel the same way about Star Wars that I do.
We're definitely getting more into the movie show,
yeah,
conversation. But I will say, to end it, this part of the conversation, I will say Star Wars uses a lot of tropes. I love Star Wars, but there's a lot of archetype characters. If you really look at it, it's a soap opera in space. I'm really sad about the VCR going away for the things we mentioned. Part of it is because the VCR was a big part of my childhood, and that's the one thing I think is bad about modern times is there's no stores, there's no rental shops anymore.
Yes, that's something that's been depressing me since they went away. I really liked being able to go to the store, look at my movie, check out the box, buy something that, you know, maybe came out straight to video because sometimes those were good. And, you know, just enjoy the whole experience in that way. There's something to be said about breaking out and dusting off the old VHS player and watching some old classics.
So I do recommend, if you're somebody, say, like myself and Shay, I do recommend getting a hold of one of the last VCR players if they actually made American Region NTSCs. Put a box, wrap it in plastic wrap, put it in the attic, and save it for future generations. Because I guarantee they're going to find one of these mysterious black box cubes and go, what the hell is this?
They'll probably fall in love with it.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had an amazing conversation today. We've talked about all sorts of great things like Apple getting rid of DRM, Verizon buys Yahoo, on all sorts of things. We want you to do us a favor. Go to gsmcpodcast.com and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes and everywhere on the interwebs. You can also find amazing shows like MMA, sports, and all sorts of other great content in the GSMC network. We also want you to go to the Facebook, type in GSMC Technology Podcast. This is episode 18. What we want you to do is comment. Were we right? Were we wrong? Do you think that there's something that we didn't see in any of the stories we talked about? Or is there a story that you really want us to talk about? Make sure you leave that in the comment of episode 18. And as always, thank you for listening.